Father, that's our prayer this morning, that you would have your way in us. Father, we pray that we would just freshly commit our lives to you, Lord, today. Father God, throughout this gathering of the church, you're working in people's hearts. And Father, there is someone in particular, it should be all of us, but someone in particular is seeking you, seeking direction, seeking answers. And Father, this weekend with some folks, we just had this conversation about how you speak and the things that you say. And Father, you mainly speak via the word, but Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the Spirit lives and dwells within each one of us, Lord. And God, we praise you and we thank you that you are with us. Maybe it's most of us, I'm not sure, really seeking the direction of the Lord. And this weekend with some relatives who are at our home, we spoke about this verse. And hear this. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Guess who was the Lord? The gentle whisper. We're often looking for some gigantic thing to happen, folks. It's in the gentle whisper. It's in the quiet that we hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, as we're quiet before you, speak clearly to each of us. And your words would be, I'm proud of you. I love you. I care for you. You are mine. I purchased you through my son, Jesus. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. Walk by faith, not by sight. Listen to me. I'll supply everything. I know all about what's going on in your life. I've got it in control. I've got it all. And so we praise you. Come on, church. We praise you for the incredible God. The incredible God that we serve. Who's got it. Who's got our lives. Who knows. Who knows about everything that's happening. Strengthen each one of us. Jesus taught us not to worry. He taught us to bring all of our cares and anxieties to Him. He taught us to have faith. Spirit of the Lord, you're at work today. In gentle whispers. Can we just have those words back up? Lord, I give you my heart. Let's sing it together. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Come on, everyone. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me and sing it. Lord, I give you. Come on, let's lift our hands. Oh, I give you my soul. And I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Father, have your way in our lives. Have your way in River Valley Community Church. Have your way. Have your way. We praise you today for the incredible peace that's in our midst, Lord. The presence of God is here, church. The presence of the Lord is with us. We thank you, God. Thank you for your manifest presence. We sense it, Lord. We know you're with us. Give us great hope today, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all of us said, amen. Turn to someone today and tell them, the Lord's got your situation. Tell them that. Come on. We're going to be in the book of Acts again today, if you have your Bibles. And maybe, Darlene, I didn't give you a heads up on this, but as I'm kind of opening up, Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 8, Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 25. And last week, I skipped ahead of chapter 8, and we looked at chapter 9, and we looked at the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And we tried to dissect it and take a look at what was going on as the Apostle Paul was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And what the Apostle Paul witnessed in the stoning of Stephen was something that I think we miss because it's not in the language of the book of Acts. But as Stephen, of course, was being stoned, he looks up to the sky. He asked the Lord to receive his spirit, but most importantly, the words that come out of his mouth, he utters the most incredible words, the same words that our Lord says on the cross, and he says, do not hold this sin against them. And the Apostle Paul, the scripture says, was there watching. He's watching the stoning of the first martyr of the early church. And he hears the words of Stephen, and he has never witnessed nor has he ever heard such love. Love is the absolute cornerstone of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the cornerstone. Christ being the cornerstone, love, the act of love, is the foundation of the gospel. And Paul witnesses these words. And I believe at that moment, a work began by the Holy Spirit in his life that brought us, Saul, being transformed by the power of Christ. He's Paul as we know him, but as I said last week, in the culture, many people had two names, and it transformed him. Back into 8 as chapter 8 is Saul is standing there and he's going, this is terrific what's going on, if you can imagine. By the way, I don't know if you heard this week or read the news, awful news out of France again, a Catholic priest. Everybody heard that news? Catholic priest in France, followers of ISIS, broke into the church or went into the church and slit the throat of a Catholic priest. I'm here to tell you that there is going to be followers of ISIS that are going to have a Damascus Road experience. Amen. It's hard for us to comprehend those things. I can't fathom it. 84-year-old priest slit his throat, and yet the redeeming power of Jesus Christ is for those two young men who did that act. Very quiet in here. See, because our mind goes to, well, I've never done such a thing. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? And so as we see these scriptures and we see Paul transformed by Christ, no one, there is not one person on this earth who, if they turn to Jesus, cannot be redeemed. Amen? It's the message of the church. So we're going to go back into chapter 8, and let's start at verse 4 and read what happened after the church is scattered and they're out and about because of the tremendous persecution that starts. It says, those that had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Miraculous signs does not bring faith. Miraculous signs brings wonder to those that are seeing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But that power of the Holy Spirit to heal, and we're going to read about this in a minute, to deliver people of demons, to bring salvation, brought wonder and amazement. And remember, Stephen was the first recorded one that we saw operating in the power of the Holy Spirit outside of the apostles. We see it next in Philip, because the operation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. It is for everyone, that power. Jesus said, greater works you shall do, because I go to the Father and am sending the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit and his power, his attributes, are for the church. It's for the body of Christ. It's for all of us. But we see Philip now, as he leaves and goes into Samaria because of what's happening in Jerusalem, he's operating under the baptism and power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now, one thing that miracles do by the hand of God is bring great joy into a city. And so we are of the belief that the word is not just historical, it's for today, that the power of Christ and the Spirit is for today. And I'm looking forward to the day when the church moves out into the streets of the city and many are healed, many are delivered, and many find Jesus Christ. That's going to take you. And that's going to take faith. And that's going to take a church believing we have the power and authority to do this. Amen, amen, church? With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples, were healed, so there was great joy in that city. Verse 9. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Let's just stop there for a minute. Amazed is not a great translation of the word. If you go back into the King James, the word is bewitched. Now, I want to talk about a few things today that for some reason make people in the church uncomfortable. But we're going to talk a bit about witchcraft. Wow, did it ever get quiet? We're going to talk about sorcery. We're going to talk about magic and arts. We're going to talk about the things that, unfortunately, I see so many people pursue. And we often deal with people who have been bound because they have dabbled in the things of witchcraft. Now, the word bewitched there always comes with this mindset that whenever anyone dabbles in it, or there is somebody professing to have these powers, and by the way, they do have power, but they have power from a dark side. They have power from Satan. And for some reason today, there is this gravitation towards all of these things like tarot cards, horoscopes, Ouija boards, black magic, white magic. I could go on and on and on and on. And what we find in people who have been dabbling in these sorts of things and they come to Jesus Christ, they need deliverance after they come to Christ. You say, weren't they delivered when they came to Jesus? Their spirit was made whole, brand new. They're born again, but the soul has to be delivered. And this power of God does it in an instant. Amen? Does it in an instant. But what bothers me, I'm going to be very honest today, what bothers me is that people of the body of Christ have no problem or don't think there's any issue in, you know, once in a while I'll just dabble in this area. It bothers me. It bothers me. You're going to say, well, you're a legalist. No, I've never been a legalist in my life. It bothers me to see a statue of Buddha in a Christian home. It bothers me. And it should bother you. You say, it's just a statue. Afraid not. It bothers me to see believers mixing in Hinduism into their Christian walk. It bothers me. It should bother you. It bothers me when people read their horoscopes. If you want to know your past, your present, and your future, read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. You'll find out real quick. That's right. Come on, give him a hand. What? I know my present. I said it last week. I'm a saint. Don't everybody laugh. I'm a saint, a child of God, a co-heir with Christ, a king and a priest. I don't need to know my present. I already know it. I know it. I'm in Christ. I know my future. There's a whole part of it that I don't. It's in the hands of my Jesus. It's in the hands of Christ. But my future, if you know Jesus today, we're going to be with the Lord forever. Who, ruling, reigning one day. But why do we think we can mix up this junk with the power of Jesus Christ? Why? And so this Simon, who took this city by storm, messed and bewitched with people. And by the way, when we work with people and bring them to freedom through deliverance, through freedom in Jesus Christ, and they've been dabbling in this, they have great confusion in their minds. Tremendous confusion. Witchcraft brings confusion. God brings clarity. Jesus brings clarity to the mind. He delivers us and we renew our mind. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know what God's will is, his good and perfect will. And so I go into homes I'm being very serious about this. People who recently come to Christ, we need to have a team of people who will walk through their home and say, throw that out, throw that out, throw that out, throw that out. Because not only their lives need to be cleansed, the home needs to be cleansed. It's the truth. It's the truth. And so I'm saying this in love as a shepherd and a warning. Don't dabble in that garbage. It will affect you, and the enemy will have a foothold in your life. And then he's not happy with just a foothold. He's happy. He just wants it all. Paul said he was a bondservant of Christ. He's a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm happy to be a slave of Christ. Getting rid of all of those things, repenting, turning from it. But the culture is immersed in this today. If I didn't go to the Stampede this week, but if you were on the grounds, you would have seen psychics and psychic fair and palm readers and all of that stuff, and people going in there, and you go, well, people do it in innocence, Pastor Mark. Yeah, well, Satan operates or deceives us, because he looks, Paul says, like an angel of light. And so the things often done in innocence, I've never said this before, write this down, bring a curse into your life. Well, that should fill the church next week. I live under the blessing. Come on, I live under the blessing. I'm not part of that garbage. Nor should you be. Nor should you be. And so Simon bewitched them, is a better translation, with his magic. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel is nothing but good news, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In other words, they believed, they turned, and they came to Christ. Simon, verse 13, himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. I want you to underline that, make a note of that in your Bible. I'm preaching a bit differently today, kind of line by line, because I want to talk about this. He was astonished, and he was amazed, verse 13, I believe it is, says, by the signs and the miracles he saw. There is a danger, though, for all of us, and there's a danger for myself. When we are asking God and believing God for a move of His Spirit, there's a danger that the attraction of signs and wonder is greater than the attraction of Jesus Christ alone. There's a danger in it. Signs and wonders follow a powerful, humble, godly, Spirit-led, born-again church. They do. They're supposed to. The danger is finding amazement and focusing more on the signs and wonders than Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith via the cross and His resurrection. And there's a danger in it. And so Simon was deceived at that point because he was so amazed by the miracles that were taking place. There's no shortcut to revival, church. There is not a shortcut. Here's the ingredients of a true touch of God. It's a church that loves to worship God. It's a church that finds time for prayer in their personal life and in their corporate life. It's a church that understands the true meaning of repentance. It's a church that will stand in the gap for its nation, repenting and asking God for forgiveness for all that is going on in our nation, and humbly asking God to move. It's a church that sees that how many millions of babies that have been aborted, and one day finally God has to say, this is enough. It's a church that doesn't point their finger at the abortionist and those that have had one, that brings hope, but pleads with God for mercy. Pleads with Him for mercy. It's a church that pleads with God to touch us once again, right across from city to city, town to town, province to province, our nation, and let it run down right into the U.S. Can we say amen? Amen. So that means, yes, it'd be wonderful. Start it in Canada. Start it wherever, but please. It's a church that isn't afraid to preach the truth. In love. That's the ingredients of true revival. And along with it, yes, come signs, wonders, and miracles. People be healed, set free, and delivered. It's a church that sees every week people being added to their numbers because they're coming to know Jesus Christ. But signs and wonders can be dangerous. We all want a sign. Boy, Jesus was clear. He said, and he talked to the Pharisees, and he said these very words. It's an evil generation that looks for a sign. But no sign shall be given except this, and he talked about the 3 days and three nights. Like Jonah was in the whale, and he said, that's going to be your sign. And then they asked him, what's going to be the sign of your coming? As of the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. I'm not going to do it this morning. One day, I'm going to preach on what I truly believe that text means. It's going to shock a ton of us of what's going on in the world today with genetics. We're going to let it right just rest right there. It will shock you, and we're living close to that day. Let's stand for a moment. We're gonna make a declaration as a church today. It's serious. Let's just declare that we seek after Jesus. Come on. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, and we seek after only our risen Savior, you. We seek after the only one who can cleanse us of unrighteousness, and that's you by your blood. We seek after the one who gave us grace. We seek after the one who didn't give us what we deserved, but instead took upon him the sins of all of us. And we seek you. We declare today as a church that we will seek your word. We declare today as a church we will seek your face. We know that things are not good in the world, but we have the hope that the world needs. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit living, residing within us. Father, give us great wisdom as you move us forward, that we will stay guided by the principles of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in each of our individuals' lives. Guide us as a church that things of that the enemy would want to bring in, because error always comes in alongside truth, that we would be so careful as teachers of the Word that we would hear the Word, preach it with love, and our whole church would be moved by the power of the Spirit of God. Help us to never point a finger, but God, help us to always preach truth and never be afraid of it. Persecution will come because of it. But God, we stand in your presence today, and by your power, we are children of God. Amen, church? And we will follow your ways. We love you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They looked for the big guns to come. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. That's by water. Now watch this, 17. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So the argument over this passage among so many people, which we should just stop arguing. Wouldn't that be a good thing for the church? It'd just be a good thing to stop arguing and start studying the Word together. There's different views on this, so that's okay. So what did Simon see? And a weird thought go through my head, but I won't say that. Yeah. Anyway, what did Simon see? We don't know. Now, a lot of theologians would say, well, they saw those people then, the evidence, they spoke in tongues, like on the day of Pentecost. Well, that could be one argument, or that could be one thought. Did they see that those people went out then and were able to lay hands on the sick and see people healed and all that? That could be another one. Did they see a transformation in a physical way? I don't know. Did they see love? Did they see? I'm not sure. I'm going to say this. I think Simon saw all of it. I think he just saw this. Wow. They lay their hands on people and they're healed. There's some that are speaking in an unknown language. And that confounded him. There's others that were delivering and casting out demons. There's all of this going on. And Simon said, whoa, hey, this looks good. What did he see? We don't know. But he saw the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. People should see the evidence that this church is baptized with power in the Holy Spirit. We stop arguing over the evidence and we just say, come, baptize us in the Holy Ghost. What? It's just a trick of Satan that he's divided the church over these issues. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland this week and he says, the church has got to come together for a harvest that is of end time proportion. And we should all say amen to that. Yeah, my goodness, he's just divided us. So awful. So Simon sees something. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. He is messed up. First of all, Simon would have probably made a whole ton of money by performing his magic arts amongst people. People pay an enormous sum of money, I don't understand this, to have a palm read or a psychic read whatever they do. I'm not sure what they do. I don't know, there was years ago, there was a show on TV, Crossing Over. Anybody familiar with that show? Yeah, some dude in the States. And that show was so evil, it just blew my mind. He got this crowd of people like this, and he sounded so loving, and because they wanted to contact their dead relatives. Somebody chuckled. I don't want to contact my dead relatives either, okay? It's like, they're gone. Some of you are going, thank goodness. But they wanted to find out where their mom was or their dad or all this junk. And so he's a smooth talker, right? And he listens. And of course he's listening. And he tells them all about that dead relative before they're dead, about what they did in their life. Newsflash, don't you think Satan knows about what those people did? It's like, oh my goodness, are people gullible? And then he talks about, I see them and they're doing this and they're in a beautiful place. Newsflash, the man's a liar. He's a liar. He's being used by Satan. And so we had a phone call when I pastored in Empress. We were there about a year. I got to tell this story, honey, because this is truth today. I got a phone call one evening when we were pastoring in Empress, from a lady in our church. And, you know, she phones me and she says, Pastor Mark, we've got issues in our home. And I'm thinking, yeah, you got issues, all right. I didn't say it, I thought it, okay? So I had to take that thought captive. And I said, well, what's going on? She says, well, and then it got real serious. She says, we see a, like an image, like a ghost almost, of a 3 to 4 year old child walking through our home. Becky heard the conversation and Becca knew exactly what it was. Like that, the Lord showed her what it was. And I went, so being the great man of faith that I am, okay, you can laugh at that. I said, you see a little child, like, I'm thinking, woof, you should stop drinking, right? That was not the issue. I said, you see a little child, yeah. Well, what does it do? Well, we never see its face, but it appears and then it just goes up the house, goes up the stairs. And I said, how often has this happened? She says, often. Well, this lady lived with her daughter. And so I said, well, listen, can we just, can I pray with you this evening, and can we just book a time to come see you tomorrow morning? And she said, that would be just fine. So we prayed and prayed with her, and we booked a time to go see this individual in the morning. And, you know, this is about 1 year into our ministry, and this was a lot different than managing a Walmart, I can tell you that. And so I got off the phone, and Becky said, this is what's going on. Now, I want to be very careful as I tell this story. And I want to preface it by this. If there's anyone here that's ever had an abortion, God absolutely loves you. Okay? Loves you. Becky said to me, that girl's had an abortion, and Satan's tormenting her with that child. I said, what? Hear this. Don't leave the church building yet. This is very powerful. This is what the enemy does when we play games, folks, and dabble in the wrong side. And so we went over that morning, and mom was here, daughter was here, Becky was here, I was here, and we just opened in prayer, and I asked a number of questions because we were in training. And we're still in training, folks. How many know you're in training till you go home? You bet. This was like, whoa, what is going on? This is brand new. And I never got it in Bible college because I didn't go. But anyway, this was Holy Ghost stuff. This truly was the Holy Spirit. We're going, what is going on? Becca had heard right. So I said to her, I said, have you ever had an abortion? Oh, no, never. I'd never do anything like that. I said, okay. Mom was sitting here, daughter, Becky, me. We asked some other questions, and we weren't getting many answers, so I said, well, let us just walk through the home. We're going to walk through your home, and we're going to pray. We've done this often in people's homes. And as we go upstairs, the daughter follows us. Mom stays downstairs, and we go into a particular room, and she's weeping. And she says, I lied. I didn't want my mom to know. I've had an abortion. And Becky said, she says, I know, the Lord showed me last night. You know what's so beautiful as believers is that now we have the opportunity to offer hope to people. Amen? Whew. And so we said, oh, this is so simple. So we just said to mom, we're going to leave for a little bit. We went back to the office. And we prayed with her. She repented. Simple. Easy peasy. Jesus was there. And Jesus, you could just feel the presence of God. And she wept because of that situation. Sometimes girls don't have a choice. You hear what I'm saying? Got really quiet, and I'm not for abortion, but sometimes they're in a terrible situation, and nobody's helped them out. I am off on a tangent this morning. We had a thing happen in Vernon in our church. They were marching with placards against abortion, and one of the fellows that was heading it up, wonderful guy, terrific, he said, it was Sunday afternoon. He says, you coming to march? I says, nope, not doing it. Why not? You should be doing that. I said, no. I said, what we should do is, yes, we should fight legislation, but what we should do is open our hearts up to these young girls because they come from such crappy homes. And we should say, come live with us. Amen. We'll help you. And you can have your child. And we'll help you. And even if they choose to give the child up for adoption, there's a new life made in the image of Jesus Christ. Ooh, that makes, it's easier to march with a placard. It's easier. I'm not against, but it's easier because that means we don't have to get involved in the mess of that person's life, right? But here's what we learned through this situation that we had an empress. Here's what we learned. And for whatever reason, the enemy had a stronghold there and was able to torment her with what's called a familiar spirit, torment her with that child. The enemy's the tormentor, God is not. If you think God's out to get you, you have a wrong theology of our God that we preach. He's out to deliver, set you free, and bless you. He's out to bless you. But this spirit was a familiar spirit that would wander through the house at particular times, and it was demonic. And when she repented and got set free, it ended, and we blessed the home. It's never happened since. Now, I don't fully understand why that happened in her life, but I know this. My God is able to deliver, set free, and destroy any work of Satan by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is. And you know what, church? There's people here who are broken. And they need us to not judge. So the enemy, you see, Simon just, he loved this stuff. This guy on TV loved the fact. He had sold his soul out to Satan, this dude. But it doesn't matter what you sell your soul out to. I know a man. His name is Jesus. He can set you free. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no gift or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord." This is Peter. "Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart." You know what? As I studied that this week and read that word thought just leapt off the page. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. Your thoughts have the power to guide your life. That was an unrenewed mind. That was a Simon. Who did he really believe and was baptized? Did he truly repent? Was he a child of God? I'd have to say at this point, no. But that's up to God. Did he repent after? We don't know. He may have. And one day when we're in eternity and he shows up, we know that he gave his life fully to Jesus Christ, right? But at this point, it does not look that way. He had a thought. And his thought was, I can make more money on doing this. I'll pay for the gift of the Holy Spirit. How horrible to think that anybody can purchase what Jesus has already purchased for free. How horrible to think that we could buy the Holy Spirit. How awful to think that money is the answer to everything. Of course, Ecclesiastes says that somewhere, but that's man's thoughts. It does. It says money is the answer to everything. Wine makes life merry and money's the answer to everything. I bet you never heard that preached in Sunday school. That was man's thoughts. That was Solomon's thoughts. At a time when he had lost it with God. Wow. Money saves nobody. And I'll preach blessing and finances till the cows come home. But money is not going to win this city. It's the power of Jesus Christ that changes situations in your life. He thought he could buy it. Go to Isaiah in your Bibles, 55. Verse 1. What a scripture. Underline it. Read it, memorize it. Listen to what it says. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Folks, it's been purchased for you by Jesus. "Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy. Anybody feel like that? Anybody feel like you're toiling? Anybody feel like you're toiling? I have. I felt like I've toiled in ministry. I was wrong. We're supposed to keep in step with the Spirit of the living God. The toil system, write this down, the system of toil was broken at the cross. Did you know that? Oh, you may never have heard that. Yes, it has. The system of toiling was broken at the cross, destroyed. It came in at Adam's fall. It was destroyed at the cross. We are to keep in step with the Holy Ghost. Just step with Him. The system of toil is over. We are children of the kingdom of God, folks. So much difference. Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your soul will delight in the riches of Pharaoh. Verse 3, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Look what he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David, God has made an everlasting covenant with us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and it's the covenant of blessing and redemption. Hallelujah. You don't have to dabble in a bunch of garbage or go seek it somewhere else. Just live under the blessing of Almighty God, the blessing that came through Abraham, the blessing that supplies every good thing to us who believe. That's the God I serve. Oh man, I could just dance and cheer, but you wouldn't want to see that right now. That would be bad news. Thoughts have power. Your mind has power and it directs your life. And if it is unrenewed, you are going to go down the wrong path. You're going to speak words. And we ended our last Sunday with this. You're going to speak words that are not the Word of God. You're going to speak the opposite of the Word of God because the mind is unrenewed. You're going to speak death and not life. But we choose to speak life through our mouth. We choose to speak the Word of God. We choose to focus on Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen, His blood shed for all of us. We choose to focus on the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. We choose to believe that we can do greater works than Jesus. I'm just preaching the word. We choose to believe that because He's gone to the Father and He sent us the Holy Spirit. We choose to believe it. We choose to believe that the free gift of salvation is for all and everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We choose to believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. We choose to believe that one day we will be with Jesus, not because anything we have done or by any good works we have done, lest any man boast, but instead we boast, as the Apostle Paul said, in the cross. We choose those things. Simon had a problem. Sharon, would you come to the piano? Let's stand together. And I want to address this again. This is very important. And you might say, Pastor, when will you stop addressing this? When we all get it. When we all get it. I give you my heart, if you would. Peter saw that Simon, the scripture says, was full of bitterness. He said, I see by the Spirit that you are filled with bitterness. The word bitterness in the Greek actually means poison. Bitterness flows through our body like poison. And one day it manifests in real ugly things. Actually, it manifests in many things, but it can manifest in anger. It can manifest in revenge because this is what that person did to me. It can manifest down the road, I'm going to say this, in sickness. It does. It manifests in physical harm to the body. How did Peter see that? The Spirit. What happened to Simon in his past? that when he heard the gospel preached, that he did not hear to repent and that his soul could be delivered from it and that he could be healed. He was focused on the wrong stuff. And if you're focusing still on anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and self-pity or what happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, or even just yesterday, you're not going to be free. And so the last part of that message is that I see you're captive and full of bitterness. And Simon says, please pray for me. I don't know what happened. But Simon, I hope, said, oh God. And I hope that the text doesn't tell us that they ministered to Simon. A revived church is a forgiven church. And a revived church is a church that forgives. Amen? Refuses to hold anger and bitterness. You can say, well, Pastor, you don't know what happened to me. No, I don't. I don't. And you never had that happen in your life. I probably didn't. But you don't know what's happened to me either. And you know what? You got to come to the point where you go, who cares? I receive the forgiveness of Jesus. Who cares? I release those people, but most importantly, I release myself from the prison of bitterness. I release it. I let it go. It's harming me. It's a stronghold in my soul. And I haven't taken it captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to walk in forgiveness and love. Owe no man anything except the continuing debt of love. Because if you have loved your neighbor, Paul said, you have fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. Just love. Let us come to that point where love overrides everything in our lives. So we're going to sing this song to end, but here's a few things to go with. If you have anything in your life that is, I'm going to say it, demonic, you say, well, I don't think it's demonic. Well, wake up. Wake up. Tarot cards, psychics, beads that have been dedicated to something other than God. Get it out of your house. New Age, get it out. You got the Word. What do you want that stuff for? Get it out. It brings curses. I said it. I'm going on holidays next week so I can say this stuff. Get it out. Live for Jesus. He'll give you everything you've ever desired. Everything. Get it out. It's a curse. Break it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're struggling with it, come see someone and we'll take authority over it with you. But repent, turn, clean it out. Okay? Easy. Easy peasy. Just live for Jesus. So that's one takeaway. Number two, don't seek signs and wonders. Seek Jesus. Exalt Jesus. Number three, the baptism of the Spirit's for everyone. It's for all. It's for the church. Number four, forgive and let go. Forgive and let go. And fifthly, speak life. Speak life out of your mouth. Catch yourself. Catch yourself. Well, we're never going to have enough for that. Well, you know that person, you know them. Shut up. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't learn to be politically correct from the pulpit. No, really, don't say it. Do you know that the angels, and you all have angels assigned to you, you do, Psalm 91, they wait for the word of God to be spoken from your mouth. They go out and do the Lord's bidding. That's what they do. Boy, there's angels here today. Oh, they're all around. They're waiting to speak the word of the Lord so they can go out and do the work that God wants them to do. That's the truth. I'll preach on that someday. All right. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Whoa, what a God we serve. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, let's give him a hand. Father, thank you for the greatest church on earth. Amen. Right here in Medicine Hat. Thank you for the most beautiful people. Father, we renounce deeds of darkness. We renounce wicked things. We get them out of our house, out of our lives. We're set free by the power of Almighty God. We thank you that we're on assignment from you. And I thank you, God, for this body, every head bowed. Is there anyone here? This is so important. Anyone here who's never given their life to Christ? If you've never given your life to Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. That's turning from sin, coming to Jesus by faith in his grace. We'll lead you. It's a change of life. Don't do it if you're going to try it for a few days. Oh, I'll just try this. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. The only way to eternal life is Christ. If you're here today, you've never received Jesus, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Is there anyone? It's a very serious moment. Is there anyone? All right, every head bowed. I'm going to ask one more thing. And I won't pull you to the front, nothing like that. Anybody here who the whole thing with Buddha and this tarot cards, all that junk? Anybody here said, Pastor, just pray for me? Nobody looking around, lift your hand. We're going to pray as a church. Okay, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Anything of the enemy? Thank you. Anyone else? I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Father, right now we break the hold of this on these people's life in Jesus' name. Now you have to turn from it. I can pray, but you have to get rid of it. We break the power of Satan as a church. Amen? And we proclaim freedom over people. Freedom in their minds. Freedom in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And can we have that song? This is my desire, everyone. Oh, to honor you, Lord, with all. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Let's worship him today. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. That's our mind and our will. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Now, just a heads up on a couple things. Pastor Larry's and Terry are back next week. Yes, we are so blessed to have them back. And Pastor Larry is here next Sunday preaching the word. Becky and I are here for the next 5 days, and there's a wedding here on Friday. Christy and Ben. And is Ben not here this morning, Christy? Oh, he's already terrified? Okay, we'll figure that out. Okay, we'll get it worked out for you. So 2 o'clock, everyone's invited for the ceremony, 2 o'clock here next Friday. And so we're celebrating this young couple's lives. After that, they're moving to Calgary for school, but we want to bless them. And this has been a great day. Amen? Have a great week in the Lord.